Well, this is the final week of our series that we've been calling Staying Power. And what we've been learning in this series is that stamina and perseverance are essential qualities of the Christian life. And while it's challenging, staying power does have its rewards. Endurance and long obedience in the same direction always result in spiritual growth. No matter whether you're facing boredom or fatigue or other difficulties, enduring through it will result in spiritual growth. And as we've been saying, spiritual growth is a worthy objective. In fact, it should be the most important life goal for every person of faith, because spiritual growth enables us to be fulfilled in all the other areas of our life, like work, family, or school. The problem for most of us is that work, school, and family are very important activities, and they sometimes consume so much time and energy and resources that we have nothing left over to devote to growing in our faith. It's kind of like a catch-22, right? Everything else seems more real, more urgent, more necessary than our spiritual well-being in that moment. And then we don't pay attention to it. And when we don't pay attention to it, we have problems in all the rest of our lives. We have to devote even more time and energy and resources to carrying out those things. But here's what we've found, and what we're sharing with you in this series, is that making and keeping spiritual commitments can break that cycle. And that's what this series has been all about. Each of the weeks, we've been talking about a different kind of spiritual commitment that you can make that will help you grow in faith. And there is no doubt that if you take one of these commitments and stick with it, you will grow in your faith. We've talked about things like sharing your faith with other people simply by inviting them to church, or doing works of mercy for people in need by joining a ministry or a mission here at the church. And last week, we explored the benefits of joining a small group. We said that trying to live your faith on your own and all alone is a very hard thing to do. You need friends in faith who will support you and stand by you in good times and bad. Now, if any of those messages have moved you to join a ministry or a mission or a small group, you can find all of the information on our website, sthillary.org. You just go to the Next Steps section. Just look for Next Steps, and you'll see all the options there that you can take your next step with. But today, on the last week of this series, I want to share with you a commitment, a spiritual commitment, a step that is the most widely accepted spiritual practice of all. Now, you know, when it comes to some of the steps that we've been talking about, like joining a ministry or a mission or a small group, I often feel like I'm standing up here and I have to like convince you of this because it's kind of hard to do. And sometimes it's a bit of a hard sell, right? The other day I ran into a parishioner at the grocery store and she said, "Father, I love this series, but every time you talk about joining a ministry or a mission or a small group, I kind of put my head down because I want to do it. I know it's right. I know I'd feel better, but right now it's hard for me." And I said, "It's okay. When the time is right, it'll be right." But not this step that we're talking about today, this spiritual commitment. This is one that we can all easily agree on, and we can do it anywhere, anytime, and in any way we want. This practice is a universal one among all people of every faith, and even people of no faith are known to turn to this practice at least from time to time. What I'm talking about is practicing prayer. And as Catholics, we would add the celebration of the sacraments, because for us, sacraments, like the Eucharist, are the highest form of prayer. And so what we're going to talk about today is practicing prayer. If you want to grow spiritually and as a follower of Jesus Christ, you definitely want and need to pray. Prayer is both a conversation and an encounter with God in which we tune our hearts to Him. Now you may be wondering, "Father, why are you saying practicing prayer? Why don't you just call this prayer?" Well, we call it practicing prayer because it takes practice. It takes practice to pray. Just like you have to practice if you want to improve in any skill in life, you also have to practice prayer. And the more you practice, the more comfortable you will be with prayer, and the more you will want to do it. In fact, the more you pray, the more you will actually begin to crave it. Most people know that praying is a worthwhile and important thing to do, but most of us, including me, don't do it often enough. And that's because there are many obstacles to praying. Even Pope John Paul II, who's now a saint, once referred to prayer as a battle. He called it the battle of prayer. And the first obstacle is that practicing prayer, like anything, is not easy. It's not easy. It's demanding, and to make matters worse, it can feel like sometimes our prayers are going nowhere, right? Have you ever had that feeling? Growing up, I attended one of the most prestigious schools in the country, and I don't say that to brag because it was actually a nightmare and I didn't make it past the ninth grade. I mention it just to set the scene. If you can imagine this very prestigious school, I had a very overly demanding teacher who took our class into the balcony of the chapel, and he lectured us for the entire class period about hard work. And I'll never forget his words. He said, boys, it was a boys' school, he said, boys, people say that practice makes perfect, but that's not true. Perfect practice makes perfect. It's kind of a stupid thing to say, right? you can't practice perfectly. That's the whole point of practice. But I think it applies here because sometimes we're afraid to pray because we think we have to already be perfect at it. Right? If we don't get that warm, fuzzy feeling after a few minutes of prayer, we think we're a failure and we give up. It's like, where are you, God? You're not listening to me. You don't like me. Okay. You know? But that doesn't have to be the case. Now, it's true that when we read about the heroes in the Bible and when we read about the saints throughout history who have changed the world and the course of human history, it's true that none of that would have happened without the great prayer experiences that these heroes in the Bible and the saints had. They had conversations with God that were amazing, where they called upon his assistance, demanded his direction, asked for wisdom and understanding and a sense of purpose. And the reason the Bible tells us these stories and the reason the saints throughout history share their prayer encounters is because that same kind of relationship with God is available to each one of us. The message is that some very flawed and fallible people who are just as normal and as messed up as we are were able to talk to God and encountered him in prayer. And those stories are there to inspire us to make prayer a part of our lives. But here's the thing I want you to remember. Those stories in the Bible and the stories about the saints and their amazing prayers and their visions and everything, those are the highlight reels of their prayer experiences. Those are the mountaintop experiences. We don't read about all the times that their prayers felt dry and mundane, when they felt that they were alone and God wasn't listening. The stories that stand out are those few times when something amazing or transformational happened in the prayer. It's the same for Jesus, right? The Bible tells us that it tells us many times that Jesus prayed. He stepped away from his disciples and prayed in private. But only once does the Bible describe some amazing experience Jesus had in prayer. That was the story of the Transfiguration. All those other times Jesus prayed, I'll bet you it was a very ordinary conversation that he had with his Father. The point I'm trying to make is that for every amazing prayer experience we hear about, there are innumerable ordinary moments in prayer that are never recorded. So don't let that stop you. You don't have to be perfect in prayer. Another obstacle to prayer is a lot of people feel intimidated because they don't know what to say or do, especially if they haven't prayed in a long time. And you'd be surprised, many pew-sitting Catholics who come every week to church and pray along with us in church have a hard time praying during the week. So if you feel that, you're not alone. Or if you're new to prayer, you're not alone. I got to tell you, one of the things that always happens to me is when I go to a dinner party or an engagement or an event, I'm asked to pray. And oftentimes they'll say, well, we're all people of faith here. Does someone else other than the priest want to pray? And everybody looks down at their shoes. Why is that? I think it's because we think that it has to be some amazing prayer to impress other people. And sometimes we unintentionally reinforce that idea when after the prayer we go, that was so beautiful. The thing is, it doesn't have to be beautiful. It just has to be a prayer. One of my favorite movie scenes is from the romantic comedy Meet the Parents. You've seen this, Meet the Parents, right? It's got Ben Stiller. He plays this guy named Greg Fokker, and he meets his girlfriend's parents before proposing to her. And her overly suspicious and intentionally intimidating father turns the weekend into Greg's worst nightmare. And in one hysterical scene, Greg is asked to pray before dinner. He's clearly uncomfortable with it, and he's already got food in his mouth. But he tries to act normal, like he prays all the time, right? But all he can come up with after several uncomfortable silences is a largely unintelligible mishmash of a few churchy words he's heard and a really simplistic prayer for children. I can't even describe it. If you want to laugh out loud, go home and YouTube it. Meet the Parents prayer scene. It's like 2 minutes and you will be rolling on the floor. But here's the point. Prayer does not have to be elaborate, eloquent, profound, or poetic. It can be very simple. When Jesus' disciples asked him how they should pray, he didn't offer them a complex formula. He didn't insist that they have mystical experiences in prayer. He just taught them a very brief prayer with only five petitions or asks, right? The first two pray that God's name will be honored as holy and that his kingdom one day will come. The next three are just praying for our daily needs, basic necessities of life, the forgiveness of sins, and then help in avoiding temptation. Very bare bones. Despite its simplicity, though, the Our Father has become the most well-known and the most recited prayer in the world. Jesus didn't need to impress anyone with fancy language or complicated tropes, and neither do you. Now, most Catholics know the classics like the Our Father or the Hail Mary and the Glory Be. Hopefully you know those. But there are many, many ways to pray. And your prayer, you can do a lot of things. You can just give thanks for something that's good in your life. God, thank you for this or that. Or you can praise God for his goodness. Praise you, God. I praise you this morning. Or it might be an act of contrition or a sorrow for sin. God, I'm sorry I did that. I shouldn't have done that. Or you can pray for other people. Or you can pray for your own needs. Or you can sit in silence or meditate on a passage from the Bible and just kind of put yourself in the scene of that Bible story. St. Francis loved to do that. Or you can just talk to God about your day. You can even complain to God. That's my favorite one. I complain all the time. And it's okay. Moses did it. David did it. The saints did it. You can do it too. God can take it. Over the centuries, Christians have developed numerous ways of praying. And we've written about many of them in our prayer book. We handed it out here a few weeks ago. But in case you weren't here or you didn't get it, you can get it on our website, on the prayer page of our website. The point is that you can say anything you want in prayer. It's so freeing. Think about that. You can say anything you want in prayer. It's the beauty of it. There's no right, there's no wrong, there's no judgment at all. And because of that, everyone can pray. In fact, there's only one cardinal sin when it comes to praying: not doing it. To practice prayer, you have to pray, and you have to pray often. And Jesus emphasized this to his disciples in the gospel passage today. The parable about a man who goes to his friend's house at midnight and asks for loaves of bread is an instruction from Jesus to us about praying with persistence. always expecting God to hear and answer your prayers. Even though his friend says he's already in bed for the night and not to bother him, Jesus says, I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up and give him whatever he wants because of his persistence. And I love this first reading. I hope you paid attention to the first reading today. Moses was so persistent in his prayer. He was talking God down off the ledge, so to speak, and he saved the lives of many innocent people through his persistence. No matter what, never, ever give up on prayer. What Jesus is saying is that prayer takes staying power. So look, if you don't pray regularly or you have trouble praying sometimes and don't really know where to start, we can help you out. We've created a resource page on our website, sthillary.org. If you go to the Next Steps page, anything you want to know about the next steps you should take in life, in your spiritual life, go to Next Steps. It's got a whole list of stuff, and then you'll see the word pray. Click that, and we've got a whole page on different stuff you can do. It's got the prayer booklet, and so on and so on. And there's one thing I really, really beg you guys to do. This is such a small ask. I know I'm always asking you to do stuff, but this is so small, but it would make me happy, and it would make our parish happy. We have a mobile church app. You may not know that, but we have an app. And on that app is a little used feature that I want all of us to start using. So download that app. You can go to our website and you'll see a thing that says download the app and just follow the directions. Or you can text that number, the word app, to that number right there on the screen. Do it right now if you want. Take out your phones. I don't care. And on that app is something called a prayer wall. A prayer wall. And you can enter your prayer there. You can enter your what your need is or a need of a friend or something like that. And then what's super cool is that everyone who gets on the app and wants to can commit to praying. And you push a button that says, I commit to praying for this. And what wouldn't it be so amazing if in the next couple of weeks we had hundreds of people on this app praying for each other, and you go on and you see your need, and you see that 50 people are praying for you. Wouldn't that be amazing? So please do this. We got to kickstart this. I'm going to pester you until you do it. So I'm just super excited about it. So please do that. Well, in conclusion, I want you to know that God wants you to have a personal relationship with Him, and He promises great things for you. That's what Jesus meant in the gospel when he said that that a father would never hand his son a snake when he asked for a fish or a scorpion when he asked for an egg. And like every good father, God, your heavenly Father, wants to give you the best. He wants to shower you with blessings to fill your life. But he's waiting for you to ask and keep asking and never give up. One last thing, there's a beautiful word in that gospel. The word for persistence, okay, is a Greek word that actually translates better to shameless audacity. God wants you to be shameless about your requests, never embarrassed, never bashful, never timid about asking, seeking, and knocking on heaven's door. For as Jesus says, everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Amen. Amen. Thank you.